Guys, there's just something about it, you know, in the midst of World War III or whatever people are saying now and different things that we hear, there's something incredible as we come to worship. Wasn't that great to just worship, to put everything else on a shelf and to be able to give our lives to God? A.W. Tozer said something about that, about worship, that really without worship, everything is just a disaster. Everything is a mess. We're focused on things that just fall apart. But as we worship, and there's something about just even looking around the room and seeing people. What an incredible thing to know that we can come together, that we don't have to be alone, that there's a family of people that love and care, and we can walk through things together. You know, those big things, those operations that are coming up, those things that we're waiting to hear the results on, those things that we're praying for a miracle in our relationships, that God wants us to be able to do that together, to live in community. You know, Tabitha, this was she's got one more week, and then she's going back to college. And we this week looked at some wedding dresses and stuff. I think I should put stock in Kleenex, you know. And so just watching that and seeing that, and you know, here's the thing, is that we're all on a journey, and we all need each other to support on that journey, to encourage, to help. And it really matters what you believe as you're on that journey. Your journey is going to be directly affected by what you believe. What you're thinking is going to affect you in 2020. And so I looked at some of the things. I was reading some articles this week, and one of them that was in Popular Science, I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing. And I'm looking at the top things that they say that they see coming in 2020. And the first one is that Japan will build a robotic moon base. And it's like, okay, so everybody is involved in this process now. And then it says that China it will complete the Beijing to London high-speed rail. They say that this year that the navigated cars that you don't even need people. I mean, we hear about those and they're always getting in accidents, but I think it's all going to be fixed this year. So then you can just let the car drive you everywhere. You know, it's funny, all the new cars, they're starting to put all the sensors and different things on it. You know, one of the other things that it talked about was a biofuel, how it's now cost competitive with fossil fuel, and it's like, wow, nobody really saw that coming. And then this one I really like is because I heard that Tab told me this week, she said, you know, the Jetsons, you know what year that was, right? 2020. And guess what they said in Popular Science? Popular Science said that this is the year for flying cars. And so sign me up for one of them, and it just sounds fun. Flying cars, one of the things that I read is that they microchip that's supposed to equal the human brain under $1,000 this year. They talked about microchips that you put in your brain to enhance your brain and to help it do extra features. I don't know exactly all about it, but as I think about it, I'll let other people try it out first, and then I'll watch and I'll see how that works. These OLED screens, I saw pictures of them, and you know, like the flat screens that we have at our house right now, those are like going to be antiques compared to these. They're basically paper thin and they're see-through, and I mean, you could just slap it on the wall. They're flexible, they turn, and it's like, wow, those are all things for 2020. Probably the one that they've really started to perfect are the AR glasses. And so you're able to, they say that this is going to be the year for your AR glasses. So you could actually be wearing your glasses, and then you got your teleprompter going on, and you're able to recite the things that are in front of you. You'd be able to get information. You'd have Google or Siri helping you feed things that you'd be seeing right in front of you. It would help your vision, all these different things. And it's like, wow. Somebody had to believe in those. So in each of those things that we talk about, because they're kind of like way out there, aren't they? But people had to sit and say, I believe in this. I believe that this is going to be something that's going to happen. Well, last week, we looked at John, and we're going through the Gospel of John, and we looked at John the Baptist and the encounter that they had. Now, I encourage you, if you missed it last week, just go online. You can listen to it. You can watch it. And what you'll see is we saw a belief that was worth living. And so we saw John's life through that, and we saw that it was worth living for, and it was also worth dying for. It was a value, it was a belief that it was like it propelled everything in him. And so this week, what we're going to look at is a belief that's worth following. And so for each one of us, what are those things in life as I move forward that are really worth following? You know, in school, at work, at home, in my goal for life, what are those things that are worth following? And so if you turn in your Bible to John chapter 1, we're going to wrap up the chapter today. We're going to start in verse 35. And I'm just going to kind of read it, unpack it, and we've got a couple fill-ins for you, four different things in following. So it starts in verse 35. It says, the following day John the Baptist, was again standing with two of his disciples. So remember, John the Baptist wasn't the light, he wasn't the way, but he was making a way in the wasteland. And so he had his disciples, he had his followers that were there with him. He's got two of his followers there. And then in verse 36, as Jesus walked by, so we know that this was at least 6 weeks later after the baptism, he says, look, there is the Lamb of God. And John makes that so clear to everyone who Jesus was, the Lamb of God. And then in verse 37, it says, when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Guys, this is pretty wild. They're following John. They're like, okay, this is what my calling is in life. He's my rabbi. He's my teacher. He's the one that I'm listening to in life. And then John says, there is the Lamb of God. There is Jesus. At that point, they just like drop the mic. They don't even say goodbye to John. They just follow. They just start to follow Jesus. And so as we look at it, I think of, you know, we started in the Gospel of John. And the word, what does the word mean when it's a capital W? It means Jesus, yeah, yeah. And when they heard the word, when they heard that the word was there, it reminded me of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and by Jesus. So they knew this is what they need to follow. This is what they need to engage in their lives. And so they took action steps. And so that's really important that we always have to, when we hear something, our belief isn't really a belief until we take action steps for it. It's just something, oh, I'm kind of contemplating this. But a belief is something that you actually do, that you step out in. And that's exactly what they did. And so then watch what happens in verse 38. It says that Jesus looked around and saw them following. And I love, you can underline what Jesus says. He says, what do you want? And I think that's one of the most powerful questions that each of us have to take from Jesus. Because Jesus is very clear. It's not like an accident. So he sees these guys following around. He says, what do you want? And really, Jesus is saying the same thing to us. What do you want? You're coming to church, you're reading your Bible, you're coming in. What is it that you want? Jesus is very, very clear. He's not going to make any accidents. You know, oh, I accidentally followed, or I accidentally got pregnant, or I accidentally, you know, I mean, there's all these things that somehow, I don't know how that happened. Jesus is very clear. And Jesus says, what is it that you want? And they replied, and they say, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And they're like, we are all over you. We will go where you go. That's what we want to do. Where are you staying? We're going to figure out how we're going to get there, how we're going to be there. And then underline this, how Jesus responds. And Jesus says, come and see. He he said. See, Jesus extends the invitation. So they're following, but they haven't been invited by Jesus. At this point, Jesus invites them to come and to see. And it says it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. See, you know, we looked at a belief that's worth living for. And now we're looking at a belief that's worth following. What am I going to follow in life? That belief is so strong that I'm taking action steps, that I'm moving in it. And the very first thing I want you to write down is to come and see. To come and see. That's the most important thing. Whatever you're dealing with in life, whatever you're dealing with in 2020, your choices and your decisions, you have to come and see. You can't be like, oh, well, you know, let me just think about it more. And maybe one day I'll get up and look at it. Jesus is saying, it's time to just come and to see. And so it's really important. I grew up in a religious household, a Christian household. My parents loved the Lord. Some of you, the exact same thing. But I talked to a lot of people, and they're like, Rich, you know, how I grew up was people just told me what I needed to believe. You need to believe this. Don't question it. You know, oh, boy, you're now messing with God. God's going to take away your birthday and everything's going to be ruined now. You know, don't question anything. You just believe exactly what's told to you. If the pastor says it, if the church says it, you just believe. That's what you have to do. You just have to believe. But isn't that interesting how Jesus is saying, hey, come check it out. All right, just come see. Now, you're looking for something. They're looking for something. But he says, come and see. See, in verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John had said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. See, Andrew immediately, he realizes, wait, this is what I've been looking for. I've been hanging out with John the Baptist, which he's great, and he's preparing a way. But now I found the real deal. This is what my whole life has been about. Ever since I was a little kid in rabbi school, I was like, wow, I want to see the Messiah. And this is who it is. And so there's this excitement. It's like, let me get a hold of my brother. Let me get a hold of the people that are close to me and tell them what I've seen. And in verse 42, then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. So he didn't just say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. He said, let me take you to him. Let me take you to Jesus. Just as the disciples of John started to follow and then they engage with Jesus, they're saying, here, let me just take you to Jesus. And then it says this, looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip. See, Jesus went seeking Philip. Jesus traveled a long distance to reach Philip. And then the scripture goes on and it says, and said to him, come follow me. Come follow me. Jesus was the one that called Philip. He said, come follow me. So people will come close and Jesus will say, come and see. But there's a point where Jesus calls each one of us out and he says, come follow me. And so I want you to write that in as your second point today, is you have to choose to follow. You have to choose to follow Christ. You know, there's a lot of people, and I understand where they come up with ideas. They believe that you just magically become a Christian. You know, you're just meant to be a Christian, so you are a Christian, and, you know, somehow you morph into things in life. But there, when we read the scripture, we see that God's sovereign and that God's in control. God isn't confused about anything. God knows exactly how things work. But there's also human responsibility and the choice and decision that we have to make. He's not going to force people to do things outside of their will in a relationship with him. And so you see that we have to choose to follow. Well, it's like that story of the girl who she's writing all of her stuff for college. And right now, Priscilla's writing to all these different colleges. And she had one idea, and now she's thinking, well, maybe this and maybe that. And so as you're filling out all those forms, they ask you a lot of questions. And on one of those forms, this one girl was, she looks at it, and it says, "Are you a leader?" And she was a very honest person, and she was like, well, I'm really not a leader. That's not my personality. That's not who I am. And because of her integrity, she was like, nope, I'm not a leader. And then, and she felt bad about it because she was like, I really want to get into this college. This would be a great college to go to. And a month later, she gets a letter, and it's an acceptance letter. And it lets her know that they had, their studies showed that they had 1,472 people sign up that are applying for college that are leaders. And so you are the only person that's not a leader, and we decided that they needed at least one person to follow them. And so, you know, the whole thing is that we're so focused on leaders. You know, if we want to make money, if we want to cash in on grants, if we want to do anything, you just write a book on leadership. You say, I'm going to write a book on leadership, and everyone's like, okay, yeah, we'll help you with it. But to find something on being a follower, now that's a totally different story, isn't it? You don't find a lot talking to you about how to be a follower. What does a follower look like? And that's exactly what Jesus refers to. So when we look at the 12 disciples, what is that? They are the 12 followers. So they follow Jesus, they watch what Jesus does, and they do what Jesus does. That's what a disciple, that's what a follower does. And Christ doesn't call us to nothing. Christ calls us to something. And so as we follow him, we are called to something, and we're called to follow what his actions are, what he is called to do. See, the early church was actually called, when they didn't, before they even called people Christians, they called it the Way. And so the name didn't change until they got to Antioch. But what happened is that when they saw someone that was a follower of Christ, they said, oh, that's someone of the Way. They follow the Way. Because remember, what did Jesus say? He said, I am the Way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so people were able to identify. What did they say? They're like, they're a follower. They're a follower of the Way. And so even when we get to Antioch and they say, oh, they're Christians, what does that mean? That actually means little Christ. And so it means, wow, they just look like an imitation of a replica of a smaller version of the real deal of who Jesus was. And for each one of us as a follower, it's to follow him and to look like him. And so we go on to verse 44, and Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Verse 45, Philip went to look for Nathanael and was told, and told him, we found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Now, what you pick up right there, you pick up the conviction. He's like, we finally have the real deal. We have what we've been looking for, what you've been looking for. And what does he offer? He really just offers an invitation to Christ. What's our first point? Come and see. He offers that invitation. We have found him. Nathanael, come and see. It's the second time that he invited someone. He understands the value of, if it matters to me and it changes my life, why would I allow someone to be broken and separated when there's a solution? And so the third thing about following, I want you to write this in, is that you bring those that you know. You bring your family, you bring your friends, you bring those people that you care about. Because what's the real answer to everything in life? It's not just self-help. It's not like, oh, you know, we make enough money or we do that. It's Jesus. It's the creator and master of the universe, of what only he can do in your life. Everything we can do is natural. So it's something that we can come up with. But what Jesus does is supernatural. It's life-changing. And so it's so natural that we invite. And so Philip invites Peter. He invites Nathaniel. Now, he did it different ways each time. Because why? Because they're different people. So when we share what to come and see, to follow Jesus, we realize each person is different, but each person has a calling. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, guys, we can put our names in there, we can put our neighbors' names in there, we can put our friends' name in there. That's what the shed blood of Jesus is for. And so it's so important that we are just very, very clear that If it's truly life-changing, if Jesus can really change my life, if Jesus is the one that can give physical healing, emotional healing, if he's the one who created me and he knows what's best for me, if Jesus can take care of me on this journey that I'm on and for the rest of eternity to be in the presence of God, if that's true for me, it really is true for everyone else. It's really true for other people. I know people will say, well, that's relative. That's your belief system. You know, that's how you believe. But when you understand Jesus and you realize Jesus said, no, there's really only one way. It's like taking your GPS and having an arguing match with your GPS, right? You know, you're saying go south. Well, forget you. I'm going to go north. You know, I'll get there, you know. And that's what some people will do with God. But for us, when we know the truth, there is a calling. And we don't even see it in the text, but we know that as they encountered Jesus, there was this thing of Jesus just being so true that it's just natural to share. And we even see in the Great Commission, that's really almost the Great Commandment, right? And it's to go make followers. So we're called to make followers as we go. We're called to share. Now, does that mean that we have to have an argument and case for everyone? No. Guys, I want you to remember the first point is to come and see. That's what we're called to do. We're called to tell people to come and see what changed my life, to come and see what transformed millions of people's lives, to come and see. Now, that's pretty easy, right? We could probably just, we could practice it. We could work through. Okay, so talk to your friends, talk to your family. Come and see. But there's sometimes kind of a fear that goes on, isn't it? Because sometimes their muscles kind of tighten up and you're like, oh my word, what are they going to say? How are they going to respond? Are they going to, you know, get mad at me? Are they going to ask me questions I don't understand? Well, I love this in the Gospel of John, verse 46. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? And it's like, what? He's saying, come and see. He's excited. His life's changed. He was following this one rabbi, and now he's following Jesus Christ. And the guy, all he can say is just something sarcastic. You know, that's like some of us that live in Canyon Country. You guys live in Canyon Country? You know, you guys even shower over there? You know, what's wrong with you guys? You know, and so he tosses out this sarcastic comment. And I know if it was me, I'd want to like respond and I'd want to try to say, well, wait a second, there are some good things about Nazareth, you know, and there's these, you know, but all he responds back, he says, come and see for yourself. That's how he replies. Just come and see for yourself. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm not trying to debate with you. I'm just saying, come and see. I know I care about you and you matter so much to me. You just need to come and see. And I want to encourage each of you, is that so many times we feel like we've got to debate people, we've got to answer all their questions. I'll be like, oh, well, what does your Jesus, you know, what does God think about divorce? Or what does he think about, you know, homosexuals? Or what does he think about, you know, taxes? Or, you know, I mean, all kinds of things. You know, people have all these questions and stuff. And I want to encourage you to just respond the same way that Philip responded. I'm not even going to deal with that. Just come and see. Just come and see for yourself what Jesus can do to your life. And, it's 30 years earlier. It's kind of funny because that's exactly what was said to the shepherds. The shepherds were told to come and see. The Messiah has come. Isn't that great news? It's just come and see, come and see. That's what we're called to do. We're called to tell people to come and see. Sales. Have any of you guys ever done sales before? Like cold sales where you're going and you're having to talk to people. As a kid, oh boy, I had to sell pepperoni and go to people's doorsteps and start begging to go, you know, for my music program and stuff. And you know, there's these things that it's like, that's kind of hard, isn't it? Doing those sales and stuff. And you know, you've always got the manager that's trying to coach you around it. And there's the guy that says, man, that was the biggest sale and I just missed it, you know? And I guess you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. But I heard a manager say that it's really not about trying to make people to drink. All that you need to do is to make people thirsty. And so as a follower of Christ, all we need to do is to share. Man, I was so thirsty for something that would fill my life. I was so thirsty for something in my marriage. I was so thirsty for something in my relationship, something so thirsty in my meaning and my purpose for life. And Jesus gives me what I need. So as our evangelistic team for 2020, what God is telling each one of us to do is just to share with people. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see Sunday morning. Come and see with just a devotion, with just a couple minutes a day. Come and see. Let's talk about it. Let's, you know, I've got some stuff going online with the online Bible reading. Just come and see. Just come and see who Jesus is. You know, we've talked about in your bulletin on the back page, there's a thing for Right Now Media. You know, there's people that would never even step foot in a church, but you can go to their house and you'll be talking to them and you're like, man, we should watch this thing together. Let's just talk about it. Let's walk through some questions. You can put it right on their smart TV. As a church, we're paying for it. We want everyone in our church to use it. We want you to use it with your kids. They've got great kids programs, everything. But we want you to share it with other people that you know. And you just say, hey, come and see. Check it out. Tell me what you think. And so there's something about that as we come and see. Because in verse 47, as they approach Jesus, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. Jesus reveals his deity. He knows who Nathanael is. The sarcasm doesn't bother him at all. The doubting doesn't bother him. And in verse 48, Nathanael asks, he said, how do you know about me? And then Jesus replies and he says, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. See, Jesus knows where each of us are at. He knows in our friends and our family and the people that are around us in our community. He knows exactly where they're at. He's not surprised by that. He's not confused or waiting for something. He knows where they're at. And then in verse 49, Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. See, Jesus brought Nathanael to a place that he had to make a decision. And it's true for each one of us. We have to make a decision. We can come and see. We can follow. Are we going to jump in? Are we going to jump in? Are we going to make that decision? And for each one of us, and that decision becomes between me and God. It becomes you and God and the other person and God. You can't force someone. You can't say, well, you know what? I'm going to make my kids be a Christian. I'm going to make my parents. I'm going to make my spouse. This becomes a decision that we all have to make on our own. We have to make that choice. And so in verse 50, Jesus asked him, he said, do you believe this just because I told you I've seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. Jesus reveals the mission right here. He says, just coming to Jesus, that's not the end game. That's the beginning. That's the very beginning of everything. So once you encounter Jesus, that's the beginning of it all. Verse 51, then he said, I tell you the truth, that you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. Jesus really is the stairway to heaven. He is the one. And Jesus is saying, as you encounter me, your whole view of life is going to completely change. And so as we move into 2020, we have to say, how do I encounter Jesus to see more of what he's doing? Because he's doing a new thing, and it's growing, and it's big. Am I expecting it? You know, you'll watch those cop shows, the Live PD and stuff, and you'll see something, and it'll happen so fast. And you'll be like, I didn't see that accident. I didn't see where that car went or where that happened. Why? Because I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting it. And then they show it back in slow motion, you know, and then they circle it and they have it highlighted as the car's going. Now I can see it. And now I'm believing what's happening. And for each one of us, God wants us to believe that he's going to do incredible miracles in our life. Salvation is awesome and incredible, and that's what we want to bring people to. But that's just the beginning of what he has. And so number four is this, is to expect the best. As we move forward to follow him, we need to expect the absolute best. That the creator and master of the universe, that God has the best things yet to come. As we continue through John, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see all these amazing things that Jesus does. But guys, the best things are yet to come. There are things that God wants to do right now that are absolute miracles. God wants to do things. I believe that God is doing miracles all the time. And we just miss it. We say, oh, that's a coincidence. Or, oh, isn't that interesting that the medicine worked? Or, oh, isn't that interesting that the doctor was wrong? Or, oh, isn't that interesting that the surgery worked? Or, oh, isn't that interesting that the person finally decided to come back to their marriage? Or, oh, isn't it interesting, instead of realizing, wait a second, is this God moving? Is this God moving in the midst of things? And the greatest miracle, I think, of all the things is really his amazing grace that he has for each one of us. And so as we go into 2020, we think about the grace that God has for you, the grace that God has for me. And we've looked at grace and its unmerited favor. And I thought of the guy that he used to be a slave trader. So his job was keeping people in bondage, selling people, using people. And he became a pastor. And he ended up writing a song, and really famous song, you know, his name was John Newton, and here's the words to the song. He says, amazing grace, how sweet the sounds that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And that's the grace that he has for each one of us. To understand, what am I worthy of? Man, I'm just a mess. But it's his grace that has given me meaning and purpose in life. And for each person here, I want you to understand, God has a plan for your life as we move forward. God is using you. The reason why you have breath, the reason why you keep going, is because God's not done with you yet. God wants to use you in a unique way to make a difference in this world. God wants to flow through your life. And it's all about his grace. Guys, it makes it so much easier when we talk to our friends and the people around us. And no matter how deceived or messed up they are, we can end up realizing that grace that saved me is there for others. And I'm here to extend it. Just like the slave trader that kept people in bondage is now setting people free. And that's what God wants for each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are so good. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have something for each one of us, a belief in you that's truly worth following. It's the only real thing to really get us out of the dark into the light. God, for each of us, we have to make those choices and decisions. You're not going to force those things on us. And for some of us today, it's really just the first point. Are you ready to come and see? Are you ready to take that step to see Jesus? For others of you, you've been watching, you've been seeing. But for you, it's time to just follow. It's time for you to follow and to look like Jesus, to take those steps. And as you embrace the amazing grace that he has for you. For some of you, you've tasted that grace. You know what a wretch we all are. And you know how he loves you so deeply. And as we talk today, you know that God is putting people in your heart right now to just share. Just come and see Jesus. And it may be to church. It may be to a devotion. It may be on a video. It may just be sitting down and spending some time sharing your story. But God's making it really clear for you. For others of you, you've been walking the Christian life, you've been reading, you've been sharing your faith, but it's become kind of dull. And I want you to know that God is not done with miracles. God is not done with doing amazing life change and transformation. God wants to do that into your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. God wants to flow through your life and allow you to be a conduit to other people for their lives to be changed and transformed. We're all on this journey, and God has brought us together. It's not an accident that you're here today, but if it's you that God's speaking to today, you're like, yeah, Pastor, that's me. And I know that we've got a lot of different things we're talking about, but I want to agree with you in that choice. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to open my eyes. And if that's you, if you just say, Pastor, just pray for me this week. Yeah, I'm going to take that step. You know, God knows exactly what I need to do, and I'm going to move out that way. If that's you, would you just look up at me? I want to agree with you. If that's you today, that you're like, yep, I'm going to take that step. I'm going to move in 2020. I'm going to take that step to be who God has called me to be. Guys, I want you to understand that God knows exactly what's going on, and God is going to be with you every step of the way. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would be with each one of us as we continue to move in you. God, allow us to be a light, a city on a hill. In Jesus' name, amen.